The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. This is a little bit of an advertisement, but you know, this coming January, I'm leading another group of people to the Holy Land for pilgrimage. And so just to give you a little incentive of maybe wanting to sign up for that, we actually, on our trip, go and see the Valley of Death. This is a real thing. It's not just an imaginary image from Psalm 23. There's actually a spot between Jerusalem and Jericho where you can veer off. You look down into the very deep ravine to the Valley of Death. It's called that because it's so deep and so narrow at the bottom. There are many places where even in the brightness of day, it is always dark. It's always in the shade. So it was a place where robbers would hide, to rob and steal and cause all kinds of problems to pilgrims and people who were walking. One of the years we were at the Valley of Death looking down, and in the distance there was a herd of sheep and a shepherd. It was the most biblical moment I've ever experienced. Not only were we at the Valley of Death, we were looking at a shepherd. It was like the Bible coming to life so perfectly. And over the course of about an hour, the shepherd brought the sheep all the way across this terrain to where we were. And you knew the sheep were there because you could hear them and you could smell them. That was not pleasant. Why would we choose something in our life other than Jesus? Who is your shepherd? Who is your Lord? We're very comfortable with choosing other people, places, and things to be our Lord and God. But today, we are invited to look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the guardian of our souls. We are compelled to look toward truth. Recently, I saw a video of someone saying that their identity is based on how they feel. Interesting. In today's world, feelings determine truth and goodness and right. Seems very arbitrary. Objective truth, on the other hand, is based on facts and what is real, what is truth itself. That feels like an ancient idea. Nothing is what it is, or at least it feels like that today. At the same time, all throughout the world, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, people lost and afraid. This has become normal. This is what happens when we lose the real and settle for the virtual. This is what happens when we stop listening to the shepherd of our souls. We become like sheep without a shepherd. That was one thing about this shepherd. It was just him. He was the only guy out there with probably 1,000 sheep. And they followed him all across that terrain. Jesus knew the suffering we would endure in this world and the evil that Satan would bring. How would Jesus respond then? How would Jesus respond to this? There is power in the voice of Jesus. Jesus, who is our true shepherd, calls us into his divine life. And so Jesus, what he did was listen and respond to the voice of his Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the gospel, Jesus calls us by name because he knows us. He knows us better than anyone. He knows us intimately and perfectly. Jesus says also that he is the gate. He is the way through which we must always go. He is the only way to the Father and eternal life. We are to use this gate, and we should go through it so that we can hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus says that he is Lord. We are not lost when we live within the truth and life of Jesus and his church. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Consider this idea for your life, if you don't already do this. Try living a real life of prayer. Try living the truth of our Catholic faith. Try developing a relationship with Jesus. And persevere in it. Don't stop, even when you want to, or even when it's hard, or when the world is telling us that the truth is just about what you feel. G.K. Chesterton, who was this great Catholic convert, a wonderful storyteller, a writer, all of his books and writings you can find, you should read him. And he was a great theologian. So he offered this observation in his book titled, and this book was on what he called the Christian ideal. And he wrote a book called What's Wrong with the World? Now, he wrote it many decades ago, but it's prevalent for today. So he said this in the book. This is a quote that you've probably heard before. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. The renewal of the Christian ideal within the Christian family is also one of the answers to the world's problems. A renewal of the Christian family and the ideal of Christian life. And I feel this answer is simple, powerful, and like Chesterton says, especially within a modern family structure, this is often untried. What I'm referring to here is creating a family life within the home that resembles that of the church. Family prayer, family worship, a family that always has God on their mind. Now, I know how difficult it is to convince children at all ages to sit and pray, to come to Mass on Sunday, and to understand the importance of our faith. The modern secular world influences them, actually all of us, in some way. And that influence is in every direction. Does that mean we stop trying? No, we have to try. We have to push forward. We have to proclaim Christ in the world. How do we pray as the Lord is calling us to? How do we seek the Lord in this life? I would say that prayer should always start with adoration, expressing to God your love for him. One of our popes in history said it in this way, God, you are God, and I am not. You can just end the day with that prayer. God, you're God, I'm not. And we'll keep going on. Abraham Lincoln made this statement in history about God. He said, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. I think he was right about that. We have to start every day on God's side so that we can know and hear and follow the will of God. Contemplate the life of Jesus. So adoration and contemplation. This is done primarily in the scriptures, especially the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection. When we read, pray, and think about the life of Jesus, his voice is heard. His voice is heard. It's the Word of God. This is not just a book that we read. This is actually the Lord speaking to our hearts. Thanksgiving as well. We have to thank God for the endless blessings of our life, but also for the sufferings. Yes, we thank God for that too. God gives us his love and mercy so we can endure the trials of this world. Thank God daily for your life, for your faith, your family, your friends, for your church, for the sacraments, the Bible, all that God has given, he has humbly given to us, and we should humbly say thank you. So we adore the Lord. We contemplate his life. We give thanks, but also we must listen. Listen to God calling you to serve him. Parents, children, all present, you have to serve God in this world and not just seek to be served. And this actually is the key to real happiness. By serving, by loving, by willing the good of another, by giving of our life. This takes courage. This takes commitment. Courage in saying to God, I will choose you in this life. We need more, especially more young men and women to make real commitments to serving God in his church as disciples. Now that goes for all of us here, not just young men and women. But for young men and women, particularly as priests and consecrated religious. So I just want to make an appeal to all of you young people. Don't say no to priesthood and religious life. At least keep the door open. Let the Lord call you and work on your hearts. Fathers and mothers, open your hearts and invite and encourage your sons and daughters to consider this. Particularly the priesthood, I can say to you that within the next 10 to 15 years, the number of priests in the archdiocese will reduce by more than half, because they'll be retiring and passing away. And as of right now, we do not have enough seminarians and young priests to replace them. So what does that mean? Prayer, of course, is important, but it'll mean a lot of things. The archdiocese, the way it looks today, it will change. We will have to close churches. We will have to be creative. Or maybe the Lord will give us and many young people the courage to say yes in being disciples of the Lord, in a way that calls others to the church. Now, I can say this with confidence and joy. I love being a priest more than anything in the world. Now, it is unfortunate that some people today look at the priesthood and for some reason believe that it is a sad, lonely, and bad way to live. Actually, when you ask priests if they are happy, and there's been studies of this, for some reason people like to ask priests, are you happy in your life? Lots of studies come by, I'm just like, oh, another study, someone's asking me if I'm happy. In most of those studies, you actually find that usually well over 90% of priests say, absolutely, with no hesitation. We're very happy in this life, serving and giving our life to the church. It's beautiful. I love being a priest of Jesus for his church. I love serving. I believe that God called me to this life, but I also made a commitment to live this life. Every day I wake up and say, I will serve Jesus and his church. Nobody forced me to be a priest. Nobody forced me to be celibate priest. Nobody forced me to do anything that I do. It is a willingness to go where Jesus calls me. And that is what we need in the world today more than anything. Whether it's priesthood or consecrated life or marriage or a single life, or whatever you're doing within the world and within the church, go and don't be afraid. Every day I wake up and say, I will go, Lord, where you send me. I will love as Jesus has called me to love. God is with us. Serve him. Commit your life to serving Jesus. Jesus, the good shepherd. Jesus, who loves me and gave his life for me. Jesus, my Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.